Well, good morning to each one. Phil, it's a privilege to be here again with all of you. I value being able to have a little place in sharing the hope of the gospel. And I trust that this morning that the words of the Lord will be an inspiration to your heart, that you'll be encouraged by it, challenged by it, because we're running to win this race, aren't we?
Yes.
I'd like to start in an account in Daniel. It's an account that I think we referred to maybe the last time we were here, and I'd like to focus in on a portion of it. The 10th chapter of Daniel will start in the first verse. Desire your prayers, the Lord will bless the service. It said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. To me, this is such a vivid, challenging, encouraging passage, so clearly describing Daniel making contact with the Lord. And I believe that Daniel seeing and hearing the Lord like he did in such a wonderful, otherworldly manner, so outside of what I can just, go outside and see going down the street. I believe it had everything to do with Daniel setting his heart to make contact with the Lord. He did whatever it took. He set his heart to see God, and he didn't want to let anything else come in between that desire that he had to see the Lord. And I believe this morning that that is the way that the Lord would like us to approach Him. And my message this morning is that we would be encouraged and challenged to set our heart before the Lord. I'd like to start by considering what it means to set our heart. Set is, it's a verb, and it implies action, to place, to position. To set your heart, your will, your love, your desire, your purposes in life, to set it in one place above another place, where you make a decision, I'm not going to put it to the left, I'm not going to set my heart to the right or forwards or backwards, but this place right here, I'm going to set my heart and I'm going to anchor my heart right here, and I'm going to put some protections around about it to keep the things out that would cause my heart to be moved. And I'm going to dig deep right here, and I'm going to focus on making sure that the activities of my life is consistent with the desire of my heart. I don't believe that Daniel carried his heart around to all different kinds of places during this 3 weeks. This was 3 weeks that he set his, 21 days that it said that Daniel set his heart. He set his heart in a way that helped him maintain focus on what his objective was. Every day he never lost sight of what his objective was. Well, at least I wouldn't. If I was fasting everything that tasted pleasant to my mouth, that's what it said, right? It said that he ate no pleasant thing. He didn't anoint himself. He wasn't drinking things that were pleasant to the taste. He denied himself those things for 3 full weeks because, and by the way, he didn't know that it was going to end in 3 full weeks. I'll put that out there too. He set himself, set his heart that regardless that he was going to humble himself, he was going to deny himself, he was going to put himself in a place where he could see God, and he did it with expectation, otherwise he wouldn't have done it. If he didn't have some expectation that there was going to be a return to him placing his heart right here in this spot as opposed to over here or over there, then I don't believe he would have done it. But every day he kept his heart set right there. Yes. Do you think Daniel was disappointed in the outcome? No. Don't you think that Daniel was glad that he didn't give up after 20 days? He could, after 20 days, he could have said, I'm not seeing anything. I don't hear anything. It seems like the way that I'm taking is in vain and given up. But that's not what he did. He persevered all the way till the end, till they made contact with God. And I don't think that he was disappointed. I believe it was worth it all. You can ask him when you run into him next time. Ask him if he was glad that he did what he did. But we live in a world today. We live in a world where it feels like there is so much coming against us to capture our hearts, to get us to set our hearts on things that aren't consistent with the Word of God. So many things in the world today are influencing us to spend the limited amount of time, the limited amount of energy that we have. Sometimes it's the squirrel cage of life. And I've mentioned before, I'm acquainted with the squirrel cage. I know all about it, well acquainted with it, know what it's like, know that it can run for a long time, and that it's up to us to get off of it sometimes. Sometimes it's the cares of life. But I remain more and more concerned about this message because I feel like we are being more and more overcharged and intoxicated with men's ideas, the wisdom of man, the ideas that are beginning to take us away from the Word of God. It seems like more and more the Word of God is not viewed as an absolute truth for everybody anymore. It's how do you interpret it? How would you like it to be applied to your life? What verses may not be applicable to today's world that we live in? And we're battling against that. And there are spirits in the world that are coming against us to capture our hearts and to get us to set our hearts in directions that are outside of where God is leading us. The promotion of something that's different from truth is rampant in the world today. Amen. And discipleship that requires self-denial on our part and setting our hearts on things that maybe aren't pleasing to the flesh is coming under attack. We live in a world today where life is pretty easy in a lot of ways compared to how it is with some people in different areas of the world and how it was with some of these men and women back in these days. And we have a lot that we can give ourselves to if we're not very careful. But doesn't the Scripture say life is more than meat and the body more than raiment? And yet where do we spend our time? If we were to give an accounting of how we spend our time each day and what it is that we set our heart on, what it is that we're going after, where is it that we spend our energy? What do we think about? Where do we spend our resources? Are we willing to deny ourselves a little bit to see God? Are we willing to persevere and go a little farther? You know, Jesus went a little farther in the garden for us. It said He went a little farther. He went until it said His sweat was as great drops of blood. He didn't have to. He did it to pay a price that I can't pay, that you can't pay. And then He comes and just asks us to live for Him. Can we go a little farther for the Lord today? Can we set our heart on things above and not on the things of this world that are going to pass away? The world promises so much and delivers so little. You go by the cemeteries out there are filled with gravestones, filled with people, and all that's left is a little bit of a stone and maybe a date. Sometimes you can get one or two sentences put on that stone. That's it. That's all that this. It's all you're going to be able to have leaving this world. There's got to be more than that, and there is. I don't want to wait until the end of time to recognize that I set my heart in the wrong place. God wants us to set our heart on things above. Empty religion, empty form, isn't going to carry the day, folks. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility. Yes, God came. God is a God of grace. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a great God that paid a price that we couldn't pay ourselves. But we have a responsibility to set our heart. We have the decision to decide where it is that we're going to put our energy and what we're going to go after in life. We have to come willingly. I'd like you to hold that thought for just a little bit. I'd like to turn to Titus now and look at it from a little different angle. Sometimes Titus is a little hard to find. Titus is about 2 pages long. It's after 2 Timothy if you're looking for it. Titus, the 2nd chapter, and I'd like to start in the 11th verse. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." There's so much that we could get a hold of these verses here this morning. We're not going to have time for all of that, but I would like to draw your attention to the first part of what we read and the last sentence of what we read. And that was that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, number one. And the last thing that he exhorted was, "Let no man despise thee." If the grace of God has appeared to all men, and it has, hasn't it? Yes. Hasn't the grace of God, the light of God, He has made it available to all of us. It's appeared unto all men. Why would it be then? Why would it be necessary to say, "Let no man despise thee"? And he wasn't talking about, he wasn't telling Titus, don't let people despise thee because, I don't believe because of the good that was in him. But I believe he was saying, don't let people despise you or anybody else because of the lack of grace of God that's being manifested in your life. You see, the key here is not whether or not grace is available. That's not the question this morning. Grace is available. The question is, are we willing to avail ourselves of the grace that's available? Are we willing to set our hearts where grace is? That's our part of it this morning. Do we avail ourselves of this wonderful grace so that the things that are outlined in verse 12 can be the testimony of our life? Look, we avail ourselves of a lot of things in life, folks. Don't we? we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy to gather to ourselves a lot of stuff. We avail ourselves of sleep each night, most of us. You can't go for long without it. You start getting tired, you make a decision, it's time to go to bed because I'm feeling tired. We avail ourselves of food. We avail ourselves of getting up and going to a workplace to be able to provide for our families. We avail ourselves of things that taste good. We avail ourselves of things that look good. People avail themselves of things that they listen to. So many things in life to avail ourselves of, and we in fact do avail ourselves of a lot of things in life. Do we give the same sense of urgency? Do we give the right amount of energy to avail ourselves of the grace of God? Do we set our heart like Daniel did, that regardless of what it feels like, regardless of the sacrifice that maybe is involved with this, that we're willing to do it anyway because we recognize that I'm the created and that the Lord God is the creator and that I have a responsibility to Him and that He has something really special for me if I'm just willing to avail myself and set my heart on things above rather than things of the earth? Oh, there's such a payback here. But our part, folks, is that we have to avail ourselves of it. You have to be willing to take action. Verse 12 here speaks, it said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's speaking to a turning away of something, right? Denying ourselves of something is turning away from it. But it's not just turning away from it to be turning to nothing, but it's turning away from something so that we can turn to something else. Reaching and striving to live soberly, righteously, godly, powered by the Holy Spirit. That we would be zealous of good works. That we would be pursuing the Canaan land that God has for us. That's what He wants for us, but we have to be willing to do something about it. You have to be willing to set your heart to go there. Otherwise, you're just going to wander around in the wilderness, wondering, well, what's the big deal about this? It saddens me sometimes. People get saved and the Lord forgives them of their sins and then they stop. And then they feel like that the rest of life is going to be a bed of roses and they don't do anything to avail themselves. And then they start wondering, what's so good about this? God doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want you to be in the wilderness for the rest of your life. God has a Canaan land for you. But you have to be willing to avail yourself of that. You remember the story about the Israelites? When they were delivered from Egypt, the Lord didn't want them to stay in the wilderness, but He had more land. He delivered them from that place, and then He had a land for them to go to. But they had to be willing to step out. They had to be willing to believe. They had to be willing to endure some hardship. They had to be willing to exercise some faith. They had to be willing to recognize that we serve a God who saved us from the land of Egypt, and He's the same God that can help us reach a land that is beyond what we could do in our own strength. And they had to be willing to be obedient so that the plan of God could be brought out in their life. The grace of God has come. It's unmerited favor of God that He wants to bring you to an experience that you haven't experienced yet. The grace of God is intended to do a resurrection of life within you. It's a wonderful thing. The grace of God is not meant to just be something, well, the grace of God, it forgives my sins and I go ahead and live however I want. The grace of God has a power with it, and there's an intention behind it that we would avail ourselves of it so that we would not just have the absence of bad fruit in our lives, but the presence of good fruit. That the fruit of the Lord would be manifested in our lives so that other people could benefit from it. So that Jesus Christ would be come out of our lives, that we would reflect Him in a way that's consistent. with who He is and what He came to bring to us. That's the grace and the salvation of the Lord. But then why verse 15? Why the warning, let no man despise thee? It's because, folks, get a hold of this. It's because that while Jesus Christ brought salvation, while He brought grace, while He brought forgiveness for sins that I had no possible way of offering a sacrifice that would give me forgiveness that was equal in value. I can't do that. I'm dependent on the grace of the Lord. Amen. While all of that is true, I have to avail myself of the grace. Amen. There's a part for me, and it's life-changing. Yes. It to avail ourselves of it, you have to be willing to set your heart to avail yourselves of the grace of God to the exclusion of so many other things that the world has to offer. And what the enemy would like us to do is to go ahead and try to avail ourselves of all of these other things in life. And then count on, hope, that the grace of God will be there. You know, the world would like to just say, well, you know, the Lord shed His blood to forgive my sins. True. Forgive sins that I couldn't, you know, offer a sacrifice myself for. True. But then they go ahead and want to live the same way. Grace was brought to change our life.
Yes,
the grace of God was intended to bring a resurrection of life.
Yes.
It was intended to help us reach the Canaan land. But we have a responsibility in that.
Yes.
We have to set our heart. We have to go after it. We have to step into the water sometimes when we don't understand how the waters are going to part. Paul said, set your affection on things above.
Yes.
Right? Not on things on the earth. The Lord is so good to bring a grace and a salvation to each and every individual, but our responsibility is to come to the table. You remember the parable of the wedding, the wedding supper, the wedding feast. And the Lord prepared the table, didn't He? And He put everything that we needed on the table. But we have a responsibility to come. He sent them out and He said, call them in. Tell them to come in and sit at the table. Oh, there's hurting people out there. And I look out into the world and there's people that have a void in their heart and they're torn and they're bruised and they're in bondage. And I have the answer for them. And they can't receive the help they need on their own. So the Lord says, I'm going to prepare a table. And I'm going to put everything they need on the table. And He did that. He puts things on the table that I can't go buy on my own. And then He says, go out and call them in. Whosoever will, call them in. Tell them I've got the table prepared and I've got a chair with their name on it. But folks, we've got to come to the table. Did you know that the Lord is not going to chase us around with the chair that has our name on the back? And have His table being prepared and re-prepared in whatever environment it is that we care to show up in. We run to this place that maybe is an ungodly place and we're saying, well, the grace of God will help. God's not chasing you around with His chair saying, please sit, please sit. Oh, you messed up over here and you knew you were going there and you did that on purpose and you didn't care to come sit, but here, I've got you covered. And then He's just chasing us all around. Doesn't work like that, folks. We have to be willing to come. We have to be willing to avail ourselves of the grace. We have to be willing to put ourselves in the place where the Lord is willing to bless us. Be careful where you set your heart. It seems like today there are so many things we can become involved with. And it's really easy to start to think that that's not where our heart's set until you try to move it. I've told this story before. I remember when I was in high school and I had a weightlifting buddy that was always wanting me to go party with him. And he would tell me, he'd say, we'll bring milk for you. Well, I wasn't really interested in going to the party to drink milk. I could do that at home. But he used to tell me, he'd say, look, Rod, I'm not addicted to it. I just like the taste of it. And I never forgot that because he just thought he wasn't addicted to it. until you try to take it away. And there are a lot of things in the world today, folks, that are non-sinful things. Let me say it that way. That the enemy can get us to begin to involve ourselves with because we say, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says I can't do that. Well, that's not a sin. The Scripture doesn't say I can't do that. And in the meantime, we're starting to set our heart. We're starting to put some roots down and allow something to start taking up a lot of space in our mind and our heart. You know, you only have so much time in a day. You only have so much energy. You only can do so many things. And too often, we allow our heart to get set on things that we don't want to let go of. And then what we do is we let the things of the Lord pass us by. They're the things that are sacrificed. Instead of denying ourselves the sweet bread, the sweet things, instead of denying ourselves the comforts of life, like Daniel denied himself, we deny ourselves often those wonderful things and places that God would like to do something for us, like to have a special time with us in a secret place where we've taken some time and we've poured our hearts out to Him, and yet we can let our hearts get so set in so many of the things of life. We could mention a lot of them, but you can mention them too. You know what they are in our lives. Not all entertainment sin in of itself. But there's so many things today that consume our eyes and our ears and our mouths. And pretty soon it's the end of the day and we're tired and it's time to go to bed. And then we get up in the morning and we do it all over again. And then Wednesday night comes and we're tired. Sunday night comes and we're tired. But come Monday morning, we'll avail ourselves of going to work. We'll avail ourselves of eating just about every meal that's available often. Where's our heart set? The Lord's presence will be found when you set your heart to make contact with Him. And we live in a world today that presents a lot of things to us, not this is sin, partake of it, but so many things that come right into our homes that we have to be willing to set aside. We have to be willing to turn off. We have to be willing to make time and space for Jesus. He has Canaan land for us. He has some milk and honey for us that He wants us to feed on, but He's not going to force feed it. He's not going to catch us somewhere going after the things that our hearts keep going after and pin us down to the ground and open our mouths and force feed us the things that we need. He isn't going to do that. He's not going to hook up an IV to us and just keep feeding it into us whether we want to swallow it or not. That's not God. He has too much respect for you. He respects what you want to do. He respects the direction you want to take. And He backs off at that point. But He offers the invitation. Come. I have something for you if you'll avail yourself of it. I have some grace. I have some companionship. I have some answers that you need. But we have to come to the table. We have to avail ourselves of these things. If we don't, our profession of grace and salvation becomes an empty form. And I believe that's why there's so many Christians out there that are delusioned, that are unsatisfied, that feel like there's not as much to this as I thought there was. It's because we give up too quick. It's because we don't avail ourselves. It's because we dilute what God wants to give us with so many other things. We don't give Him dedicated time as much as we should often. This world is just cramming us full of all kinds of stuff. And if we aren't deliberate about carving out the center portion of our plate and our life for things of the Lord, we aren't going to have the experiences like Daniel had. We're not going to have those times where the Lord comes and fills you up to overflowing. That's what God wants to do with you. God wants to fill you up. He wants to give you grace that you haven't experienced before. He wants to give you answers to the prayers that you pray. He just wants you to seek Him with all of your heart. Yes. The Scripture, isn't it? Jeremiah says, He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're not thoughts of evil. They're good thoughts. I want to give you an expected end. And a lot of times we'll stop right there at that verse. And we'll go through life and go through the day thinking that, well, the Lord, He has good thoughts. He's going to do all these things for Him. But if we read on in just a verse or two below that, He says, in the day that ye seek me with all your heart, that's when I'll be found of you. He does have an expectation for us. He does have a good end for us. He told Daniel, He said, from the very first day that you set your heart to understand, we heard you, beloved Daniel. You were beloved back then. We wanted to meet. I was looking forward to this day on the 21st day, Daniel, that I could meet with you. But I wanted to make sure that you wanted it more than anything else. Where's your heart today? It's somewhere. All of us this morning have our heart set somewhere. As much as we would like sometimes to think, well, we're in the decision-making phase. You just made a decision. People say, well, I'm not sure yet if that's the direction I want to go. I'm still deciding. Well, you just decided where you were going to be today. God doesn't want you to be in the wilderness. And all of us have our heart anchored in some things in our lives, and the Lord would like us to understand where our hearts are, because He has a place for our hearts. Carve out time and space for the Lord in your life. Is your faith not what you would like it to be? The Scripture says faith, hearing, says faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17, I think. And hearing by the Word of the Lord. How much time do you give the Word of the Lord? We give a lot of things time. I'm not trying to preach at a higher level than what I live. Look, I have been challenged in my own life. Rod, if I were to stack up how much time I spend on this or this or this and compare it to how much time I spend with the same interest in understanding the Word of the Lord, am I okay with that? It's okay to challenge ourselves with that. If you don't have the faith and it starts to be at a low ebb, maybe your heart's in the wrong place. Maybe you're not given enough time and space to understanding what the Word of the Lord says. Give Him time and space. The Lord wants us to put ourselves where He's promised to meet us. One example is right here. Did you know that the Lord's pleased with us coming to service? God wants us to carve out time and avail ourselves of the opportunity to come be where the saints of the Lord meet. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll come and I'll be in the midst of you. But the enemy is so good at finding ways to get us tied up in so many things in life where we don't maybe avail ourselves of the opportunity to come to service like the Lord would have us to. And then we wonder why we're weak. Then we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered. We wonder why we don't feel the closeness that we would like to feel to the Lord. And it might just be because we're not availing ourselves of what He has for us. Oh, He has such a wonderful blessing for us, and it was there, and He can't wait for you to show up to get it. But then we don't show up. May God help all of us. Give the Lord a listening ear. Did you know it's okay to have some like real true quiet time? It's okay for your car to be quiet inside. It's okay for there nothing to be going on in the house with noise. That's okay. I remember one of the kids' friends came to our house one time and they came in there and they kind of stood there and looked around and said, man, it is so quiet in here. And I'm thinking, exactly, that's just how I like it. Quiet. I don't like noise all the time. The noise of the children, that's good noise. The noise of family, that's good noise. There's lots of good noise. But we don't always have to be bringing in the noise and the distractions and the messages and the thoughts and the things that the world would like to impose upon us. We don't have to always bring that into our homes and have a steady diet of that going all the time in our ears. It's okay to have quiet time. God wants us to carve some of that time away so that He can come speak to our hearts. Where's our heart set? if we set our heart on things above, we'll make space. We'll make time. And God will meet us there. He has done His part. He's continued to do His part. He has grace for us. He has mercy for us. But now it's my turn. Now it's your turn to avail ourselves, to give ourselves, to come to the throne of grace in humility and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm not where I need to be. Lord, I'm desperate for Your help and for Your grace and for Your power and for Your presence. And I believe that if we do that, the Lord will be faithful to each one of us in our lives this morning. This is not a part-time endeavor. This life of a Christian is not, it's not a race where we are observers. God wants us to be active participants. He wants us to do our part, to dig deep and lay our foundation on the rock. That's our part. He's saying, here's where you lay your foundation. Here's where my power is. Here's where my strength is. But I have to be willing to dig deep. I have to be willing to erect some barriers of protection in my life to keep out the things that would come steal the very things that God wants me to enjoy. Yeah. People say, well, the Bible doesn't require me to have that standard in my life. Well, that's not sin. It may not be, but you know, sometimes it's the right thing to do to erect some standards, some safeguards, some things in your life where you say, I'm going to draw a line right here and I'm not going to cross over that line in my life because I want to safeguard myself from things out in the world that would steal away the wonderful experience that God has for me. It's really easy for people in the world to say, well, that's what the grace of God does. He gives me grace to handle just whatever. And I beg to differ with that. The Lord does not want us to intentionally put ourselves in places that we know are unlike Him and to not allow Him space in our lives and say His grace covers that. God wants to know that I care. God wants to know that I'm committed to Him. God wants to know that I want to avail myself by making decisions in my life that have real, true ramifications on what my day looks like, how I spend my time, how I spend my energy, what I think about. God wants to know that this is something that I want. Yes. I want it, not because I have to, but because I want to. And when we do that, and we live our lives, Lord, I've set my heart towards You. When I do that, the Lord will be faithful to come and give us the Canaan land. Amen. Let's be encouraged this morning that the Lord wants to give you all the good things that He has. And let's be encouraged to avail ourselves to go after those things. May God bless each one of you. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.